even though you go out and you're logging, like, do you want to fall in trees or out in the bush and say,
yeah,
so
I've done.
Quite a change in that industry.
Oh, yeah.
Since you first went out to a logging camp or somewhere.
When I first came here, they were horse logging.
Were they? Horse logging.
Yeah.
Did you do any of that?
No, I haven't done anything here. I did it before I come here, but all the polemen when I first came here were skidding with horses, eh? And then Harry Simpson, I guess, was about the first one to have a cat skid logs. There's been a vast change. Really, the first amount of logging was done, I guess, by Harry Simpson, and that is logging. There was poles, lots of poles been taken out before that, but the actual logging, skidding to a sawmill was done by Harry Simpson and Leary, Gordon Leary. They had a, but to my recollection, about the two had the first sawmills that did very much. And then after. Hazel sawmills came in, and then it really opened up. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Your grandfather, he never told you any stories about what the Hazeltons were like when he was here.
Oh, he probably did, eh? But we've forgotten. Like the only story that was the one I related to you about him coming
horses
through here. The old trail used to come through about where this road is out here now.
Mm-hmm.
Main road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it goes back out towards Manor Mountain here.
Yeah,
that's where he came through from there. That being trail, he called it.
Yeah.
That's the one he traveled on.
Did he mention anything about the telegraph line being here? There's this original here, and it went, you can see it, it went right across here, across the ridge here.
But, well, I've logged and got telegraph wire tangled up in my cat's tracks, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And that's way up the Kispiocks, because it went over the ridge there.
Yeah, because some people see it. It's still out there, you know, the line is on ground.
Yeah, farther up,
yeah.
It's undisturbed. Something I would like to see is the old telegraph line restored, brushed out, and bridges put back in. There's places where you can't get through because they need a new bridge. Eh? The canyons that they crossed.
So you talked about, but can you remember anything more about what Hazelton was like in general? Like, I know it's grown quite a bit since when I was younger. So you've been here for quite a few years, and so there's nothing much like the different families in 2 miles.
Well, pretty well what we said now, that the others have all pretty well gone.
Well, Parker's,
Bruce Parker.
They moved in after, I don't know what year that was. That was after 58 when the Silver Standard shut down.
Yeah, there was.
I don't know what year it was.
There were about 59.
Silver Standard shut down, and a few people. one of the old fellows that built the house at Parker's Inn, well, the original house at Parker's Inn, they just tore it down and rebuilt around the chimney, because they had gold, silver, lead, and zinc in it in the fireplace.
Is that right?
That's still sitting there. That was there.
Fellows that were working at the mine, they got that and put it in the fireplace.
And that's still there.
So Parkers are about the oldest of the newer families that moved into 2 Mile.
And Parker's then Forsythe's moved in. Sherman.
Those houses down on the road there at where Jack Williams lives, well, that was built in about 52, I guess.
Yeah, the year I moved came here, first came in 52.
And all those houses along there were built within a very short time of that. There's three houses in a row there on the other side of the road. As you turn to go down, you go down here and turn to Newtown.
Yeah, quite up to Newtown. Jack Williams lives.
You know Jack? Jack Williams?
That's down in the alley here.
Those two places. Jeffrey Beale, the pastor's.
He built it.
Built it, and then the next one, other house, the one in between is Savelle. They sold it, but then the next one to Savelle's was a Cornell's, and also a group. A Veal girl, but Cornelson's job, Art Cornelson built that.
That's right.
Yeah, Cornelson's were another family. It was a fairly older one. They
Which
moved
one?
In about
the Cornelsons. I don't know if they have them on this list.
Yeah. John and Edith Cornelson.
Yeah.
but they have just moved back a little bit again. They've gone. Yeah, they've been here about as long as I have been. More. Yeah, they've been in this about as long as we have.
Yeah.
But the old folks have, they live in between Newtown and South, John and Edith do.
Yeah.
John could tell you quite a bit more, because he was younger, he could do it. He's been here as long as we have, even longer, I guess.
How did you travel into this area? In a car?
That car, yeah, the train.
I thought you came by train or something.
Yeah, no, we came by car.
That must be a rough ride.
It was, yeah, but you go slow. It took you good and long to come and get it right.
I think it was about 24 hours to bring to Jasper from here.
In Alberta, here, we
in
my
car?
Yeah.
And by train.
Oh, yeah.
By train. Oh, yeah, by train. It still takes you that. You go down to, because you have to take a van. But by car, it took a couple of days right when you get there.
But, when we first came in there, it took us about 12 hours to bring George.
Is that right? Oh.
Because they're so the roads.
Now you make it 5.5.
Yeah.
The roads are really rough and horrible. Quite narrow. You go across bridges, you have to wait for somebody to cross. And yeah, there's much improvement. I wouldn't drive a car. I didn't get my driver's license because I wasn't going to go to drive to Smithers on that road.
Yeah.
I could not stand it, so I just didn't get my license, but I got it afterwards. But not before that. I don't think I would. They wouldn't have improved the roads. I don't think I'd have got my license and all. But they improved everything so much. Oh yeah. There was no pavement. It was all just gravel.
Yeah.
And you had to watch and that you don't go off the road.
Spring of the year, it'd be frost boils.
Fall
in and you just fall out of sight.
Yeah, so the holes used to be terrible. You could crawl through.
Well, I don't have too much more to ask you.
I don't think we have very much more that you could pick our brain with either. Don't cut me call anything either. As I said, there really has nothing left. You know, spectacular to be able to tell you that happened, you know. And since we've moved here, besides drowning, a few things like that, which
and we don't
join
in too much of the social areas of the community.
Yeah, see, if we had more of a social, we're devout Christians. We don't go into socials and drinking parties and things like that. We just don't do those things, you see. So to us, half the time we're home people and we don't get out. And just a lot of the things that may happen around,
mm-hmm.
but we just don't get out. We're just more of a home type of people. And
even the logging.
The logging industry.
Festivals they have. I never bother going there. Even though I'm a bucker and a faller and a cat skinner and a loader man and everything else, I have.
Operates all that. He just saw everything planer. He runs the planer, the green edger.
I agree with you, but go easy.
You did? Just you worked on a green chain?
Oh, green
on the
chain.
Edger?
Yeah. Green planer.
Green chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on the edger, you run the edger?
Well, resaw.
Resaw.
They're doing more than that these days now.
No,
things are running. Things are running. Are all push button today?
Yeah. Well, you did that when they were all weren't push button. You were running them. You did that. You did your share of it. How do you put that? You're a jack of
all trades and master of nothing.
Hasn't got a paper of any of them, but he can pretty well do quite a few things.
Was that the old bridge down here going from Santa over to South Eagle?
No,
when you came here.
No,
it was there.
It's washed out.
Yeah.
A year or two before I got here.
Well, it looks like it's covered everything. And unless you can think of anything else.
After you're gone, I'll probably think of something. Next week, I'll probably think of something. Hey!
Yeah, that'd be even interesting. Huh?
Okay, then.
Did you get those... let me check off. Did you?
All started. It was a hotel in 2 Mile.
Uh-huh.
And it's right there where Bruce Parker's got his shop now. And I was working for Bruce. I was cleaning up around his back. And we found a cache. Well, there's quite a few of these old caches in 2 Mile. Evidently, at one time, there was 2,000 people between here and Old Town. All prospectors, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And all over the place, there was where my mother was living, we found copper tubing that somebody used for a still. And there's holes in the ground where they dumped their bottles and garbage and stuff, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But right behind Bruce's, there were across the creek from where the hotel was. I found I was rooting around in all these bottles, and Bruce wanted to save a few bottles. And here, everybody in the country was coming and grabbing these old bottles, you know, the ones with the holes in the bottom and deep recessed holes. And but that was the hotel that this Gunnedoot case started from.
Yeah, I read the book on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's quite exciting to read that book.
Yeah.
Skeen of Destiny is another one. If you ever read it, I'd like to read a book of Hazleton, a book called Skeen of Destiny.
Uh-huh.
That's really funny. That talks about the Gunnedoot and the cases and everything like that. That's really comical.
Mm-hmm.
I sat and read it. That I was in the hospital with the girl, the grandfather, one of the grandfathers that was in... involved in some of that
Gunnedoot
case.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't remember whatever she said in one of it, but there's some comical things she was telling about the other thing, and then we'd be sitting there, laying there, giggling all, and supposed to be going to sleep, and she was telling me, and I'd be laying there and laughing my head off about chatting what she was telling me about how they took in their barrels, you know,
uh-huh.
nights, and they were sitting, and they would say to she says, her grandfather said, I forget her name now, too. She says, did you turn the chickens? And she says, why turn the chickens? She says, make sure that the tails were outside and not inside. Because they had the barrels there, they had flour or maybe some stuff in it.
Yeah.
But they had to turn the chickens at night but the tails would be outside and not inside, so they wouldn't have the droppings in the barrel. Well, I was laying there, and I think I just laid there, and I just laughed and laughed. And she said she heard me still snickering away in the middle of the night. This every time she talked along, she was telling me about the chickens and some of the different things, you know. It was so comical. We just laid there and laughed and laughed. But I can't recall half the things she told me, so I couldn't begin to tell you. But it was quite exciting, you know. I don't know where to, I can't remember her name at all. She'd be nice to listen to it, but she was you read Skin of Destiny, you know, but, that's where that all comes in. Oh, yeah. Well, he came into Tuma, and he lived in one of old Blackstock, Bobby Blackstock's place.
It burned down.
And it burned down, yeah. But he had a cow there. And that was when I was expecting my first son. And they had the cow, they had come across, and they brought me the milk all the time. The girls were quite well. I guess Christine must have been about 12 years old then. And they'd bring the milk, and I'd always have the milk. They'd bring my milk, because I drank milk, cause doctor said I had to pour myself a bowl of milk, so that's what I did. And they came across, Bill came there, and that's how we got to know them, you know. And then when they moved out to the farm, after that, they moved from Tuma here, they went to the farm.
Yeah, he got a job at that mine, working there at the mine.
Did he work at the mine with you, David?
I don't remember, but...
You couldn't recall him?
Because he said he worked at the mine for one summer, I think it was. When his first summer, the job he could get was working at the Silver Standard.
Yeah.
They rented that place. Where did you say that was?
Just down below, coming down the hill instead of going off that way. Just below the hill, on the right side going down, there was a big tall house there in Ithburn.
When you go down,
Bobby Blackstock owned
it. Instead of turning, when you get to the graveyard, instead of turning that way, go straight to go this kind of, this veer a little bit and go down a hill. And at the bottom of the hill, you'll see
there's a white house, and then
some sheds there, and there's a white house sitting back, and then there's a trailer. Well, the trailer with a joy shack on is almost over the spot where the old house was.
Campground view. And that's where businessmen's, when they moved to Tuma, and we got to know them, that's what they did. They moved into that. That's how we got to know Mr. Businessman. They brought the milk, and that, as I said, that then they moved their way out in the farm, and
they came here about the same time that you did, and
well,
I think they came in
awfully close.
Close. You said they landed in Quebec, and then they took the train out here and then they got here, and well, they got here in 52, and then they stayed in Paris, and then they came here to Hills, and then they bought that farm out and by the old Kirunga Highway, back road.
Yeah, I know. I was here just shortly before they did. I was here a little bit sooner than they came, because I know they moved in after I came. They moved. They were in there.
Because they were living in. They lived in Talco, and then they moved over to Keelan Lake, and they worked there. And then he got his farm out here. And he's got a sister that lives in Smithers.
He has.
Yeah, he has. Oh, yeah. Has a sister.
Oh, yeah.
All his family's living in Paris now, except for his son, Ted.
Yeah, Ted's down the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I could call now.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
These have been stories already then, yeah?
Yeah, I got to do them over again.
Oh, yeah?
The Reuters in here in 47, eh?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, about that, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
McCree Doris, you know? Was.
I'll tell you about the one up there. Then we went, we left at 9 o'clock at night, and we got up to the fire at 12 o'clock. After all our running into cliffs and stuff, we had to get around them. We got in there, and after we put the fire out, a couple days after, we went up to the up above timberline to get some grub that had been left up there, so the bears wouldn't get it, and brought it down to camp. That was my first fire I'd ever been on, and the second fire was on the either Hope or Pope Mountain fire, which I spent 4 weeks at.
That's a Hope, I think.
I let my beard grow I didn't shave all the time I was up there, and it got to, that's the picture there.
I called him my father, Mullins there, you see, with his lamp burning and his all that.
So I didn't shave, and I didn't left it grow till January.
Oh, yeah.
Then I shaved it off. But that was a pretty that was a bad fire, and I don't know how many acres, 700. Oh, I don't know how many acres, but it was some guys just about got caught in a when the fire turned on them.
Uh-huh.
Just about one was Ron West was the foreman of that crew, and they just barely got out.
Yeah.
Tell me about the bear.
Oh, there was a bunch of guys. I was Mr. Joe Ross on the crew, and we were putting out a fire, a spot fires along the trail, and I come along up the trail, and I see the hoses just shooting into the air, and there's no fellas around. So I got looking for them. Here they're on the bottom side of the road. The bulldozer had come down and pushed the trail and pushed all the trees down to the lower side. And here they were in there amongst the trees sleeping. So I crawled in underneath, below them, and I got up within about 50 feet of them, and I started shaking a tree, and I growling and making an awful noise like a grizzly. And they just got up there, and they took off up the trail as hard as they could go. And I couldn't help controlling my laughter, so they didn't go too far, but they were sure scared boys.
They just seemed to be running up the road, Gary.
I'd like to see the movie on that one.
But I just grabbed this tree and I just shake it and growled for all my worth. They couldn't see me. They just took off. They didn't waste any time.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that was about the only really interesting part of that fire, but it was some of the pretty risky. Some of the guys just about hurt or lost their lives in it. Oh, I did the same thing down at camp. We had bears in the garbage pit, and I got behind one of the guys' tents and started doing the same thing.
I should have been reversed it some day on him. Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess he looked at it, and then
they
took a party out after to look for him to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he got hurt, he had wounded the bear.
Mm-hmm.
But
they never left him.
They went out and searched for him after to get him.
Yeah, that's a danger animal to leave wounded.
Well, they couldn't very well.
Yeah.
They had to see where they had. Have the thing with his soul because it lifted right off.
Yeah.
I think what others did something else to his face.
Jack Williams has a picture of it.
Jack has a picture of it. Jack has a picture of a bear and everything on it too.
Uh-huh.
It was a fierce thing. It's he's still looking his back.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Captain Cool.
Captain Cool.
Heisen and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
It was quite, it was something to. To be then, you can't, you just gotta be watching what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
The bears are something that you can do. You know, you can go ahead and do them.
I told you. I've been thinking of things from the bear. Bears would come down. Lots of people have seen the bears up on this hillside. It was quite bare. And they go down the ridge and go through the graveyard and go through our property on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
One day we had a garden out here, and Miles was going out to we had the cow barn on this trail, and it was about 75 to 100 feet from the house, and he's walking along the trail with his head down, and all of a sudden he saw something in front of him, and he looks up, and here is Mr. Bear, and the bear looks up about the same time, and they both turned around and hightailed it each way.
The skid marks both ways.
And I went out to investigate, and sure enough, there was bare tracks, and where he turned around and left his marks, they'd taken off.
Yeah.
And I think the bear and the boy were both scared.
We're scared of seeing
he came up.
As he'd come out over here, this is white as a sheet.
Yeah, he's bringing some paper bags, sugung up for his rabbits, because we had quite a few rabbits, mm-hmm. like you see. And so he came along, and he was bringing some stuff to pick up the pea vines and dandelions and stuff for his rabbits. And they come along white, and he's, oh, I saw a bear. I says, oh, yes, we saw you saw a bear. We did. So when we got home, we're sorry, Miles, you did really see the bear, because we saw the tracks, one like this way, and one was going that way. And then the next day, I was standing at the kitchen door, a kitchen window, looked out the window, and here the... That on my veranda, I had a veranda, and it's still involved. And he looked, oh, the bear was looking in my window.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, she walked over to we always took a compost heap for a garden for refuse we put up there, and we always dig it into the garden later on when it's all more rotted and things like this. And here she was busy eating with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, we didn't realize it was a thing. My husband goes out and he's going to shoot it. And all of a sudden, we hollered, no, Daddy, don't. We looked up in the tree in our yard by above my lawn, and here was these two little bear cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my children went ahead and they built the bear, mother bear took off, and we built a little platform, put a little bucket, a pan of water, and some food up into that. And the kids, and then they put the dog in the bottom, and the children laying, first the children laid there just talking to the little bears. The poor little things were up there, and we gave them food and water like
mm-hmm.
that. But they were under there laying underneath that tree and talking to the little bears, you know, and talking.
Mm-hmm.
The dog was real by, close by too, so in case mother had come, she'd let her know, because he was that type of a dog. And so anyway, they had supper, and we came back out, and they went again. So night time, we took the dog and put him away, and then mother came, must have came along, and the little cubs were gone in the morning, but it was rather, and we had the picture there too. But that was some of the little things the kids enjoyed, like those little bears,
yeah.
you know. They were really neat. We had a little bear down by Alan Benson. The little bear went up, and the mother was shot, we knew that. And the little cub was up there, and they were trying to bring it down. And the little thing, they had to wear big gloves, heavy gloves, gloves on, trying to get down. They really fought to get that little bear down.
Their claws
are
sharp.
Oh, they are sharp. But they had them down, so I guess that little bear was took to the zoo. But it was a cute little thing. But that little bear was, those two little cubs were so cute. But that was funny. And then one other time we had, nighttime, well, all of a sudden we were outside. I went outside, and there used to be cougars come up through. There was a cougar came across. And anyway, I went outside to feed the cat, and it was dumped out. And all of a sudden, coming along, the cat jumped on top of me, my cat did. And meantime, the cougar howled. I took a jump, and I come in the house. And, you know, I thought he was close by, and I thought maybe this is the cougar jumping on my back, you know. Because just a minute ago, I heard this thing cry, and it was just a little ways from over the hill.
Yeah.
And I thought, sure, that was a cougar. And then that one hit me. I come in the house, I was just shaking. They said, Mother, what happened? And here it was just this cat jumped on my back. But it scared me. But the cougar was there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the animal story. And then another one came along. We had this wolf. And we had a dog. He was part wolf, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the wolf was across the river down by the graveyard. Then the wolf was in by the graveyard. And they was howling, you know. It was always howling. Really nervous. He took brave and took a gun and went off into the bush. And he said, don't go too far, don't go too far. And that he could actually hear the growl and the snapping of the teeth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not far away. And then later on they found out that it was a fairly old wolf, because generally they don't come that close.
Yeah.
But they found it was quite an old wolf searching for food. Now if he'd attacked my husband, I wouldn't know, but he sure got out of there in a hurry.
Well, I got so close to him that he was growling back at
me.
I was howling to him, and he would howl back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But when I got up closer, he started growling, and it was getting dusk. It was about around 4 o'clock in the wintertime, and it was getting too dusk to go up in the bush. And I turned around and come back. I wasn't going to... When he started growling at me,
But the kids always said, Mother, there's something stalking us coming from school, like, you know. And we says, oh, sure, yeah. And it must have been that wolf.
Yeah.
It was, he didn't come out because there was animals always get too many of them together, but they were always doing, because they had to come up from the down the S bend like this, come down around and come up in there. and they could feel, children always felt like something was stalking them, you know? Mm-hmm. And it must have been that wolf, you know. So that, it's kind of scared them.
Well, they've seen him, somebody saw him go off the road at those, just side of that school where it was.
So we figured then that's what it was. They was doing that, you know? So it kind of scared us after
that. We didn't think the wolf would be down there, but he was.
Yeah. It was quite a scary thing.
That year there was two wolves seen in here, one out on the Mohawk there, and this one here. There was two different, we thought.
Those little things that we find in Hazelton Wood, that was a little more exciting, you know, doing mm-hmm. those little things like that. Not a fun
one. We had another dog that was part coyote.
You mean our tubby?
No.
Oh, you mean Laddie.
And he was gray, and one time we looked out here, and Mary thought that was the dog out there. And here was a fox.
Is that right, eh?
No, it's right over here.
We've seen him several times out there.
Yeah, but he was by the chicken coop. I lived out, and we had the chickens up in here, and he was up the back of the chicken coop, and I looked out the window, and I thought that was Laddie, you know, because he was just so much like him. And I thought, no, Laddie's tied up.
Oh, yeah, you did. You saw him out there, too. We saw him out there, on the field there, too. But our dog, he was, Watson's had him up there. He was looking after the line. For George Brown, or he was before that time, I don't know. We used to watch him for the Silver Standard. And because there was still stuff up there, I guess, that people could steal, so he was looking after him, anyhow. And he had this female dog that raised some pups, and he was part coyote. She was part coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it was. And so we got it from that one. And he had about a quarter coyote in him. But he killed a chicken one time, and he was playing with it, and he mauled it to death. And I told the boys to bury it. And I said, burying it myself. They never buried it, and the dog ate it. So the next chicken he got out of the fence, he killed it. So I picked it up down here, and I was hitting the dog with it down and around. I went around and for about 5 minutes hitting the dog, and he was kayaking, making lots of racket, eh? I wasn't hurting him with the chicken, but he never touched another chicken. He never touched another chicken.
Well, he was a little pup, though. It was so funny. He had cornered these chickens in there, and he even sat on them. You know, he wasn't hurting them first to start out with until he tasted the blood, you know. But he was doing, he even went and backed up this chicken and sat right on the chicken and let the kid, just to hear the chicken squawking, you know. But it was so funny. But it was rather comical.
He never touched it. There. We had a batch of chicken up, the chicks up on the hill, on the side hill there. An old hen, they had her sit, or race. We put her in there after the chicks were born, I guess, in the cage. She was in the cage, but the chicks could run around. And they were running around, and they would be him, and he never... Never
but
hurt
you could
one of them.
You could just see him. He wanted so bad to get them. Oh, he wanted so bad to get those chickens.
Well, he wouldn't touch it because he remembered the licking I gave him.